Dork Podcast. Rich Keith is the Dork Podcast.
Brian David
is the Dork Podcast.
Hashtag
is the hashtag Dork Podcast.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Hashtag Dork, a very special episode, as they all are, as Dem Thrones boys are here to recap and review season 3 of House of the Dragon. We just saw the finale, episode 8, titled The Treasons of Tumbleton. It is Keith, Davey, and Shime, the podcasting triarchy. Gentlemen, how are you doing today?
Doing great. How are you?
Good. I'm excellent.
And Christopher, how are you?
I am, in a word, fabulous.
Wow.
Love it.
Yeah. Love to hear it.
Stunning, really.
You know what was not fabulous for those involved was the Battle of Tumbleton, as that was an absolute disaster. So this is all spoilers. Obviously, we've done every episode. We've done every season of this show, episode breakdowns. And so we knew that there's like this was going to be a buildup to Tumbleton. You knew how Ormond was probably going to play it. We weren't exactly sure how Rhaenyra was going to play it, but very early on in this episode, she looks at Daemon. Once they find, I think the tipping point for them was clearly like, hey, oh, by the way, Aegon and Sunfire are alive. They're like, wait a minute, I'm sorry, what? They're like, oh, yeah. Aegon's back. He's back in a big way. Sunfire's back in a big way. And then Rhaenyra, after almost like 3 seasons of this, is like, it's like trying to like play it down the line, is like, send it. Fuck it. Send it. Full send on Tumbleton, and then we get what we get.
I think, too, if you had a drinking game for every time Rhaenyra said, what will you have me do?
Yeah.
You would be annihilated by the end of every episode. Like, figure it out. Make a decision. Then she makes this one, and it's just, it's not great.
No. Not a good one.
But, at least she made a decision, I guess, right?
She made a decision. That's true. Like, what do you...
She committed. Full commit.
What do you want her to do? There was a great tweet somebody had. They said, talk about Rhaenyra. This is prior to the finale.
Yeah.
They said, is she a good queen? No. But is she driving the story? Also no. And can her dragon fight? Clearly not. Does she even want to rule? Not really. But does she learn from her mistakes? Also no. But does she have a plan? Like, not at all. And does she have any idea what's going on? Also no.
No.
What will you have me do?
I don't know.
I don't know. Do something. Now, I'm going to tie this back in later, but shit or get off the pot.
Well,
we'll tie that back in later.
Yeah, that definitely was
good tease. Good tease.
The whole time, Shime, we've been trying to like keep track of the sides, because they make it very clear that, well, Rhaenyra has 6 dragons and Aemond is now like AWOL, but they do have Vhagar when he's there. But like, whose side is he even on? And then Ormond's got Daeron, and he's trying to like be the puppet master with Daeron, hope that he can rise to the throne. And so we know like these pieces that are on the chessboard, especially the dragons. After this episode, they are scattered. I don't think there's 3 dragons that are like fighting the same fight anymore. I think they're all doing their own thing right now.
Yeah, you have no idea.
Yeah, they're all confused. Yeah,
everybody's out for themselves. Like Hugh Hammer's not even riding his dragon. Makes no sense. He's like too busy trying to save his wife, which he can't do. Ulf the White's too busy getting shit drunk and falling asleep in a fucking port-a-john.
Dink out pooping.
Yeah, those two guys. So, you know, we kind of realized like once you were going like outside the family and you're like, anybody ride these dragons? You're doing like tryouts and then you like you land on these personalities who you don't know. I think it would have been fairly easy to keep them in line. And she didn't. And so like with Hugh Hammer, he's like all he's worried about is his wife. Get his wife. You have his dragon.
Well, he didn't want to go with him.
That's what I'm saying.
He even asked.
He's like, I'll go do it. She's like, no, stay here. That would have been simple. Do that. Ulf, you got to keep him in line a little bit, but you also got to let the guy have a few drinks. Be like, all right, you can have a few drinks, dude. I think otherwise, don't even let him have the dragon. If you let that guy, after talking to him twice, he'd be like, I can't trust him. And then you like beat him up in public. You're like, oh yeah, he'll for sure be on your side. He'll listen to you. Like they fumbled those two characters, meaning like Rhaenyra and Daemon. They just assumed that they would be like so in their debt to ride the dragons that
like
they would
Adam.
Realize the power that they have. Yeah, true. I guess like Adam a little bit, but him. What's he thinking right now?
Yeah, he's more in Rhaenyra's or Baela's corner than anything.
And I think Baela's big pissed. Baela's talking shit to Rhaenyra to her face, and then Rhaenyra was not really having
insolent
that.
Insolent child.
Yeah.
Well. I mean, she's seen other people do it and get away with it. So like, why not?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. They're kind of walking all over a little bit, but it's very fractured. Right. The Rhaenyra's team is very fractured. Daeron gets knighted. So he is Sir Daeron the Daring. And he is knighted by Ormond. Masaria gets fired. They tell her to pack her shit. They're like, see you later. There was a great tweet. Another one of these tweets. Now I'm in an algorithm of just like House of the Dragon tweets, and they're all hilarious. And one of them was talking about how bad Masaria is compared to Varys from the original Game of Thrones. They're like, Varys would have known what Ormond was having for breakfast every day. And like, Masaria has no clue where any of the dragons are. She doesn't know that anything's going on. But they decided to fire her. Was that the right call, Shyam, to say peace to Masaria?
Probably, I guess, for this instance, right? Like, if you're going to commit to going full on war, like, yeah, it was probably the right decision to can her. She, as you pointed out, very bad at her job, not great. She's really kind of only good at keeping Rhaenyra's bed warm. So it's probably a good thing that they sent her off to Pentos.
But the other thing too is she was like, anytime Daemon's, she was motherfucking Daemon the whole time too.
Yep.
Yeah.
Anytime he spoke, she would like undercut him. Like, I can't have that.
She was fine trying to help Alicent and Helaena.
Yep. Yeah, that's true. And you wonder how much of that Rhaenyra suspected. Also, fucking terrible job by the guards. So like, hey, Masaria, you're fired. As they're escorting her out, she sees Helaena. She's like, oh, by the way, don't trust him. Like, your kid's a prisoner. And like, don't trust him. Like,
yeah.
What? Like, in the you got to keep them separated.
And then they're all watching Rhaenyra, and then she just walks away.
Yeah.
Like, they just let her go.
Yeah, she was like in that like thing, and like they were all watching Rhaenyra's.
Yeah, like, you're going to Dorne, and she's like, later,
peace out.
She's like, walked away.
Yeah,
yeah.
Alice tells a pretty cool story, essentially her backstory, I suppose, where she's talking about how Balerion like just lit up Harrenhal, and there was a kid there that got burned pretty bad. I assume her kid, and the mother turned to some alternative cures,
medicines.
Mm-hmm. Yes, alternative medicines, and was able to again save her, but with every kind of favor, you get kind of one thrown back at you, and then she's sort of forced to stay on the grounds. So she's quite old. Also, I'm doing a Game of Thrones rewatch right now. I'm like,
nice,
towards the end of season two. So I have this thought. What do you guys think of this query? So if Alice is similar to Melisandre from Game of Thrones, Melisandre famously had sex with Stannis, birthed a shadow assassin, which killed Renly.
Yep.
Could Alice summon a shadow assassin after having sex with Aemon, and could they send that out to kill somebody?
I think she's trying to raise an army of ghosts to run Harrenhal. I think that's what she wants.
Yeah, that's kind of like the lure, except for her, she thinks that she'll birth like a dragon-human hybrid. Like some kind of reptilian man. Because I'm pretty sure a couple episodes ago, she even said that to Aemond, where she's like, yeah, put a dragon in me, and we will like set forth.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
I thought Shyam euphemism for Aemon's dong was the dragon, because he's a Targaryen. So put a dragon in me was his weenus.
Classic hot fire. Classic double entendre.
Got it.
Yeah.
She thought she was going to birth an actual dragon.
Yeah, she wanted his dragon and then to birth a dragon. Yes.
Okay, so we're ruling out Shadow Assassin.
I think so.
Okay, well.
Or again, someone brought up a good point. Like, they never delivered on like the deer man. Maybe she tried it with a Baratheon. She tried it.
Oh,
good one.
And that's what that is.
Maybe she will have a half reptilian child.
I guess. Yeah. Yeah, Darkest Storm of Night says, why not? Aemon's blood even purer than Stannis, because she needed like a certain type of like royal blood or some
correct
shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Also, what I was thinking about, so Melisandre is roughly like 400 years old in Game of Thrones. Therefore, she is around in Night of the Seven Kingdoms and House of the Dragon. She's somewhere in the world.
Yeah, she's over in the east, I believe, like learning the way of the Red God.
Fucking cool. Like, just knowing that she's out and about somewhere.
Oh, and like maybe that's where Alice learned it from.
It's possible.
She said she spent time studying those alternative medicines.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's the one who taught them to her.
Helaena and Rhaenyra have another conversation, and Helena's just like giving her the business when she talks to her. I love Helaena. Helaena's a great character, and she's just like, what does she say to her? She's like, all the things you like are ugly.
All the things you love are ugly.
Yeah, you're ugly. This place is ugly. Like, everything is ugly. Like,
which I was looking... So, Shyam, I know you've read the books. And so, like, I was... So, there... The way Rhaenyra is described in the book is not very attractive.
No, not necessarily. I don't think it's, like, outright, like, who's the frog lady from Dorne? That, but, like, not very comely, if you will.
You're right. But, like, Helaena is. And so, I'm sure in the book that makes more sense for her to say that to her. Like, it's like, you're, and she even says, like, you're ugly or something. Yeah. Like, she says,
she does, but she starts out by just saying, like, everything you're interested in is ugly. So it's even like a bigger burn than just like, you're not attractive. It's just like, everything about you is ugly. You can be a very attractive person and yet you can be ugly. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And so I think that's what sort of what she was driving home. Gwaine tries to negotiate. Gwaine's like, I got this. And he takes Corlys and he's like, I'm gonna broker a peace. And it didn't go great for Gwaine, although he did survive. He did survive.
Like every fall Sunday for me, he gets told, your parlay has failed. Just like me, every football Sunday.
Gwaine really went after it this episode. He really went for the gusto and just came away with absolutely nothing.
I thought he was
tried.
Like his eye gouged out by Daemon, and then Daemon's like, I'm taking Corlys. He's now my prisoner. Like, fucking take a hike.
Go back home.
But it was like the most amazing thing too, because like, he's like, oh, I'm going to give you, and like Corlys and Daemon start talking, and like then Gwaine starts like jumping again, and Corlys is like, what the fuck are you talking? What?
Yeah.
And he's just like, shut up. And he's like,
I didn't agree to this. And Corlys is like, dude, I'm trying to fucking like,
shut up. You can't agree to shit right now, dude. Like, you're,
you made a horrible
I'm trying to
mistake.
Help you.
You made a fucking horrible mistake. So yeah, so that ends that. All right, now Aegon with Sunfire arrives at Harrenhal and confronts Aemond. And so for like a half second, just because it's Harrenhal, you're like, is this even happening? Like, I thought, like, is Aemond even really seeing this? I think he is.
Well, you heard that. Yeah, you heard the dragon. So I thought it was Vhagar was back.
Also true. I thought maybe Vhagar returned, and that we still don't know what's going on with Vhagar.
It seems, I felt like this episode, I forget which one of you had suggested it earlier, but Alice. It definitely felt like Alice was the one keeping Vhagar away.
Yeah, I think that was Josh in the chat, might have emailed that, and I love that theory. I was like, yeah, she's cooking something up, and like, why else would Vhagar be gone?
Because even Aegon was like, what do you mean Vhagar's not fucking around? Like, we're going to find him in 5 minutes.
Let me tell you something.
And like, nobody can find him.
Yeah.
No, and they've been looking for him. They've been looking for him for a while. Aegon is shooting up the power rankings. I love Aegon now. Aegon and Sunfire are fucking so badass, dude. These guys are good. They went from schmucks to like, and then he's like so annoyed that Aemon's just like, he's like, dude, what the fuck? He's like, I'm supposed to be enjoying this. He's like, Aemon doesn't know whether to whether to shit or cut off his arm. Like he's having a hard time right now with everything.
He's got a little Homelander in him. He's got a little mommy issue.
Yes, he does.
Yeah,
but he's scalier. He's scalier than Homelander.
Yeah.
Aemon's a skinny little dude. Like, you get him soaking wet. Like,
wiry.
Real wiry.
That guy needs some hamburgers.
Okay, I love... And they go back to Tumbleton, and they're like, all right, they tell Gwaine, go in there, let him know we're coming. We're gonna go start this war. And it's Daemon, it's obviously Caraxes, which I do have issues with him being on and off the dragon. If I have a dragon, I'm just on the dragon. Like, I'm not taking a horse into the gates.
He couldn't
fly over it.
Well, they know, because the whole plan to start was that he was going to blow the archers off the wall, and then they put kids up there, so he couldn't do that because he's the queen. But maybe he's like the queen's and the people are watching.
Plan,
like
the plan got fucked though pretty quick, I would say.
Yeah,
it got fucked pretty quickly. But he's out there with the Tully kid, Roddy the Ruin, who we'll get to. He's with Black Alley, and you're like, okay. And what's great about this episode too is, he thinks Ulf has got is like a post Ulf and Silverwing, and then Ormond also is looking for Ulf and Silverwing, and nowhere to be found there for a little while. He's not there.
And then they were looking for Hugh, and they're like, where's he's not with his dragon. They're like, well, where the hell is Ulf? They're like, yeah, he's not with his dragon either. I'm like, Jesus Christ, like, what are you guys doing? What am I paying you for?
Yeah, that was good. Yeah. let's see.
But Daemon has that great line too, where he says, like, anybody who stalls this battle anymore, I'm going to tie you to the front of my fucking horse.
I love that too. That was really good. Alan is forced to take out the High Septon because Rhaenyra goes back there and she's like, all right, you need to do it this time, and you need to like tell the realm that like you guys back me. And he's like, I'm not doing that. And she's like, okay,
well then fuck your gods.
Yeah, she's like, I have six dragons. He's like, why? You have like a seven-faced god. She's like, Alan doesn't care about that, he's gonna kill you.
He answers to different gods.
Yeah, that's not his god, so you're done, son. So wipes him out. That was a pretty good.
What the fuck?
She's like, all right, not messing around anymore. She then gives this giant speech, which again, I feel like without a proper like PA system would be difficult for everybody to hear. Like you got to really like scream it.
You got to project. Yeah.
I mean,
you
unless the acoustics are really good in King's Landing.
Could be. Might have been built that way. So like, everybody in the back can hear like, what is she saying? Like she looks crazy. I don't know what she's saying.
What'd she just say?
Yeah, she said. Yeah, she said
eye makeup is weird.
She said she's the prince that was promised and then has like a
well, yeah, nobody. No, that's the other thing that bugged the shit out of me. She said it in like Old Valyrian. Nobody understands that except Targaryen. No. Like that's it. Like nobody knew what she said.
Yeah. She's just like fucking with them. She's like speaking there.
Yeah. They're like, what? Like, dude, where you speak? It's like speaking Spanish to a bunch of white gringos. Like true. They have no clue what's going on.
I feel like it was a better speech than Sir Criston Cole's, but it was a worse speech than Aegon's.
Mm-hmm.
Like when Aegon was like rising up and got Sunfire to like back him, I thought he was really cooking with fish grease on that. And then this one was just sort of like, it's good. I just don't think anybody's really buying it. I think people
Josh points out too, like I think Chime, you can speak to this too. I don't think because she heard that story of the prince who was promised from her father, who passed it down from his father, who's then she passed it down to her son. So I don't think that people know that story.
No, so like it's a Targaryen lore story. It's not like a commonly known thing. Like I don't even know the common phrase too is Azor Ahai, and I don't even think most people would know that unless they're from like the Far East.
Yeah,
right.
Case Santiago in the chat. Good speech, wrong audience. Yeah,
yeah.
They're like, what the fuck is she even saying? I don't really know. All right, let's get to Roddy the Ruin. Roddy Ruin.
Oh my God.
Ruin. He's been waiting all day for this, all week for this. And he finally gets in there and they're like, he just can't wait to die. They're like, you can't die until you open the gates. He's like, got it. Open the gates.
Before that, he goes, are you ready to die for your queen? And he goes, I can't fucking wait.
Can't fucking wait.
He's like, I've been waiting for this. Yes. Yeah.
He was so excited and he just goes flying in there. And I'll tell you, they had some decent, set up. They had like the bowling, the scalding hot water. They had the
oil,
arrows and oil. They had
rocks.
They had fire. They had a decent defense system, but Roddy got in there and Roddy's a problem. Roddy was taking guys out left and right. He sees the kid. The kid's
some like preteen who like hits him in the back calf.
Of the leg.
Yeah, the business
he goes around and axes him right in the
face. Just axes the guy in the face. The kid in the face. Roddy doesn't stop for anybody.
Well, I love too. Like they're like in this quiet moment, and they see all their like their guys are walking by him, and he goes, "What do you say? Like the gates open, we're still fucking alive."
Yeah, yeah.
Like, what the hell?
He hated it. But this was good. And like they sort of like when we first met Roddy the Ruin, like we knew what a psycho he was, and how like they told everybody up north like we're going to die, and like that's what we're doing, and we're like. The joy that he got out of it after he had his one-on-one with Ormond, he fucking sticks Ormond with the knife in the backside. He's giving him the business.
He cornholed him.
And then in comes Silverwing. Silverwing comes. Ormond can't believe it because it's his own dragon. Oh, so he thought.
Oh.
He can't believe it for a number of reasons, I guess. The look of joy.
And unbridled enthusiasm to die that way was the greatest thing I've ever seen. He's like... Yeah, he's like,
cheering. Yeah, he's like, I had all these highlights in a battle. I went out in a battle, and a dragon lit me on fire to my death.
I stabbed a high tower.
Yes, up a murdered the a high tower. That's what he wanted to do. He was looking for Ormond, and he found him.
He did that, and then was killed by a dragon. Like you can't write a better song than that.
No,
so big picture question for you guys: has there ever been a character that you felt was like super hyped up? You knew something good was going to happen, and then it blew your expectations out of the water.
Ooh,
because like I feel like he paid off and more.
I mean, and this might be recency, but I would say Tom Holland's introduction in Civil War was probably. I knew it was coming, but that was pretty fucking good.
Okay.
That was good. Yeah, there might be some Star Wars character I'm trying to think of that like might have been hyped, but I get your point. That is a good one. Because this guy, like, also, I like you saw him for a minute and then we didn't see him for a while. And then, but then the payoff was there. You know what I mean?
Oh,
like, we
so saw good. Him,
we're like,
so
this guy, he showed up, he had a Lannister head and he like tossed the head. So he, like, his debut and his exit are as good as it possibly peak. Gets. Yes, our peak.
And he comes from the north, which I am partial to the Northerners in the yes. Game of Thrones lore. So,
yep. Agreed. And I feel like they're making so many shows and spinoffs and everything. I wouldn't hate like a one-off, like a little special on Roddy the Ruin and just sort of like how he came to be. I wouldn't hate that.
Like so, a kind of like a the Knights.
Yeah.
What's it? Big guy. Yeah.
Oh, you mean like Dunk?
Knight of the Seven Kingdoms. Yeah. Like Dunk. Yeah. Like to give you a little, you know, little mini series of Roddy the Ruin.
Shine mentions Hugh Hammer looking for his wife and not even being on his dragon. Not a great sign. And Daemon sees him. He's like, dude, what the fuck is this? So I think he also screwed up. So I think a couple things happened here. Hugh originally went to Rhaenyra and was like, when can we get my wife? And she like yada, yada, yada at him, which is a huge mistake. Also, if Hugh knew all this was going on, you got to get in there a little bit sooner. You got to get in there sooner and be like, this is about to pop off. You at least got to get out of there. And we could deal with this later. Obviously, I'm not trying to like light up all of Tumbleton, but like I don't know what's going to happen. So he's just too late. And she
died. Kicker is too. He was there. He had a conversation with her.
Yeah.
And she wouldn't leave.
She wouldn't leave. But you got like, listen, there's too much at stake here.
You have to be like, hey, either you leave or I got to leave you. Like
yeah.
It's.
Yeah. Nah, so now he's like, it's funny. The season started with Sheep Stealer and the whole thing being like a dragon doing its own thing. And we're like, oh my God. Now? You have riders that are all doing their own thing. Like Hugh and Ulf are just like in it for themselves and they don't give a shit. Ulf's mad at both sides. We do see Caraxes in some more action here. When Daemon is on Caraxes, she opens up the gate and he's flying around. Big long neck.
Hit him with the Here's Johnny.
I did hit him with the Here's Johnny. That's true. Ulf is just torching everybody.
But it was funny because someone they mentioned in the post show too, they're like, what? The real shit kicker is literally is that like he got mad at Daemon and switched sides for the exact same thing that Ormond did to him.
Yeah, and that's why he lit both sides on fire. He's just like,
fuck both you guys.
Yeah,
you're
like, fuck both you guys. So basically, this thing ends. Tumbleton is destroyed. There is no winner. It is just a mess. Ormond Hightower dead. Roddy the Ruin dead. Hugh Hammer's wife Kat dead.
Daemon almost dead.
Daemon survived,
alive thanks to Corlys.
But he was going to die.
Daemon was getting his ass kicked by that guy.
That guy was beating him down. That was the Ormond's right hand man. That guy, was it Stone or whatever?
He was a bad mamma jamma. He was putting in work. Darren,
we don't know.
Big question mark. Yep.
I guess question mark. Yeah, Darren.
We just saw Gwaine crawling, screaming his name.
But we did we saw him, he was pulling his, like, pulling the chains on his dragon to, like, get him outside. So maybe he took off.
Yeah, I think he was going to when he was talking to him. And Tessarion was, like, in there, and he's kind of, like, growling at Gwaine a little bit. But, yeah, Daemon and Corlys, obviously, are there. We also see, at the very end, we see dragons flying away. Now, were they chasing off Silverwing?
It looked like Caraxes was like chasing off Silverwing or like fighting Silverwing. And then Big Verm was just like following along. Like, hey, what's everybody doing?
But it was cool because like Caraxes, again, we've established that Caraxes is like the smartest of the dragons.
Yeah.
And you see her like she like puffed a little fire like on his ass.
Yeah, exactly.
As like a fuck, like a idiot, like kind of like a smack. Yeah. Like, what are you doing? Yeah.
And then before we get into some of this other stuff, like who's on whose side and our end of season power rankings. Also, you get Helaena,
dude,
just jumps to her death the same door that Tommen jumped out of.
Someone's gonna bolt that window.
Many years later, so when the door first opened, Rhaenyra walks into the room, and Helena's not there. Stupid me, I'm like, I wonder if Dreamfire showed up and she jumped out onto Dreamfire and like flew away. Like, I don't know where Dreamfire is. I don't know if she's in a dragon pit. I don't know if she's like AWOL or whatever, but I'm like, maybe she could sense something and she got Helaena. So I'm like, that'd be cool. Cause I feel like there's more story to tell for Helaena. And then it pans down and oh no, she's dead. She just
toast.
That's it.
And so my take on this is that like she saw like two possible outcomes and didn't want to do either of them.
That could be.
Like, is she, if she takes the one thing, like they take her baby and then she gets on Dreamfire and kills everybody. Mm-hmm. Or like you said, she just becomes a prisoner. Like what's it like? You're a prisoner your whole life.
Yeah.
So like what you get, those are your two options. She doesn't want to kill anything. She doesn't want to hurt anybody.
Right. She doesn't even want to ride her dragon. Right. No. Like yeah. She didn't want to correct. Do that. Now, did she, with all the different whispers and everything, did she know Aegon was alive? I forget. I think she did. Okay.
Did Missaria tell her that when she was like, they're all liars, Aegon's alive? I forget.
I forget too.
Because I remember Gwaine didn't know, and Daemon's like, oh, this is news to you.
Yes.
yeah, he's alive.
100%.
Yeah.
Alicent still on the run, just to circle back to Alicent Hightower. So she's on the run, but Helaena has now jumped. She also, Rhaenyra saw Helaena's quilt that she was making. And
her tapestry,
That had a lot going on, including Rhaenyra all bloody on the throne.
Well, it could be anybody.
Could be anybody.
It looked like Rhaenyra, though.
It looked like at least like a female, though, on the throne. So, I mean, I guess it could be like Daenerys or it could be somebody else, but pretty interesting. So, would you look at it this way, where Aegon, Rhaenyra, and Daeron all want the throne? Or do you think Daeron's like, I was only kind of pushed into it because of Ormund, and Ormund's dead.
Yeah.
Or part of me is like, I wonder if Daeron sees like the massacre that happened and he's like, I would actually maybe be a good king. Whereas like these other guys are all maniacs. So who do you think is vying for the throne in next season, which is the final season of the show?
I don't think Daeron wants anything to do with it. And imagine it's like when like, what's his name? Gwaine's like trying to like speak on his behalf. And he's like, well, he'll run like the south or like Old Town and like everything south of that. And then he's like, I don't even think he wants to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, well, I don't think so.
He wants nothing to do with this shit. Like he wants to basically go like read books and like kind of hang out and play chess. And, I don't think he wants to be a king at all.
Just hang out with his dragon.
Yeah.
He's like the How to Train My Dragon guy.
Yeah. The smallest dragon in the world.
Him and Spyro just flying around having time.
Yeah. So just Rhaenyra and Aegon, you think, fighting for the...
what it feels like.
Probably.
But you gotta, it's that thing too, that like the person who wants it least is probably the most deserving. Like
he might be the best at it.
Oh yeah, he would be the best king.
Yeah.
And that's why, who is Rhaenyra's father? Viserys?
Viserys. Yeah.
He really didn't want to do it either. He wanted to make his models and
not ride
his dragon and just, you know.
Yeah, so he was decent.
Hang out.
Yeah. All right, so now I'm trying to figure this out. Like, based on the dragons that are left, Rhaenyra has Syrax and Daemon has Caraxes. I would say those two are still on the same team, right? Because I think even though this was a disaster, I feel like Daemon is probably at least happy that Rhaenyra pushed them towards this. It didn't go their way, but I think maybe they argue a little bit, but I feel like they're at least on the same team still.
Definitely.
But and I think he pulled her to his side. Like, Daemon was like, she didn't necessarily want to do that, but like he was too convincing. Yeah. He just wanted to fight.
So that's two dragons. I feel like Daeron, whether he wants the throne or not, he has Tessarion and his dragon and, you know, Gwaine and whoever's on that side. Yep. And then Aegon has Sunfire. So those are sort of like three teams with dragons. Vhagar, if they ever find him, and Aemon. Is Aemon now going to team up with Aegon? Do you think Aegon trusts him? Yes. You think yes? Okay. All right.
Yeah, I think 100%.
And it's going to be like you all me.
Yep. And clearly, like, Aemon, like, feels like he's in debt, and he's like, I will repay that debt with my life.
Yeah.
I tend to agree. So I think Vhagar, Sunfire now are a team. All right. Adam of Hull has Sea Smoke. Again, they can be on one of these three teams or their own thing.
So it feels like him and Baela are still on Team Rhaenyra, but, like, kind of close to jumping ship.
And it depends on what happens with Baela.
Right. Exactly.
And Rhaena too.
I think
that's the play. If Daemon and Rhaenyra need to somehow get to Rhaena, figure out Sheepstealer, and then you would get Moondancer and Sea Smoke.
Gotta figure out what Sheepstealer's deal is.
Sheepstealer's deal is wild. That's definitely true. All right. Hugh Hammer has Big Verm. I feel like that is on his own.
Wild card.
Well, 100%. He's now, it depends on who he chooses is at fault for the fall of Tumbleton. Whose fault was that?
Sure.
He'll be on the.
Yeah, so maybe he would even like.
Because you can make an argument for both.
You could make an argument for both, or maybe like. I don't know. Aegon technically wasn't involved in Templeton, so like maybe he teams up with Aegon.
Maybe.
Or he's just going to be like the Punisher. This is like the Punisher's origin story. Like his fucking wife died and now he's going to like lose his mind and he's going to be just like a vigilante dragon rider. Yeah.
Well, that's it. But that's
like,
the one part.
Well, that's what I mean. Like,
the one part that pisses me off too is in the books, Hugh doesn't have a wife. He's just a dude. He's just a blacksmith. Mm. So like this is totally made up for the show.
Got it. Ulf Silverwing, wild clearly card. Wild card.
Yeah.
Dreamfire doesn't have a rider anymore because of Helena, but
therefore wild card.
Wild card. And I think Aegon, though, and Aemon might have a connection to Dreamfire, right? Or at least maybe they could find somebody to ride Dreamfire.
But if Dreamfire's still in King's Landing, like in the Dragon's Den, then Rhaenyra technically owns Dreamfire at this point could find a rider for it.
Well, she's still got that little guy, her little son.
Rhaenyra has two little sons.
Mm-hmm. But they have dragons, don't they? But they're just like little baby dragons.
Joffrey has Tyraxes, and then I believe Aegon the Third has Stormcloud. So like, I don't know how big those dragons are. I think those are the ones that were up with like Lady Arryn, right? At the Vale. So
what would you name your dragon? Do they name the dragons or do they like?
It's a good question.
Well, so like a lot of them, like Big Verm and Vhagar and stuff were passed down, right? They've had multiple riders. So those were names given to them by their first riders. But I think like if you get it out of a baby egg like Daenerys, then you get to
name it.
Yeah, I'd have to think of that.
It's not a question for now. Just something to noodle on. What would you name your dragon?
I'd have to see what he looks like or she. I'd have to see what they look like.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I feel like a lot of dragons actually kind of survived. Like one of the dragons we thought died ended up getting resurrected.
We're actually plus one.
Not bad.
We thought a lot of dragons were going to die, and we're actually plus. We're in the red here.
Last week, speaking of dragons,
after
week seven, our character power rankings, we had Sunfire 1, Caraxes 2, Sheepstealer 3, Daemon Targaryen 4, Ormond Hightower 5, and Helena Targaryen 6.
Well, Helena's off the list now.
Well, here's the thing. I don't know what you guys... I think we do like a mega year-end power ranking.
Ooh, like season power ranking.
I think we go to like 25 deep. I think we rip this thing.
So who's the best in the season? Overall, top to bottom, whole season, I feel like it's one guy.
So this is what I'm saying real quick, Shyam. I'm looking at this as I'm going to weigh the finale pretty significantly, but I'm also looking at it as the season 3 power rankings in totality. So I'm all 8 episodes, but I think if you want to go with the most recent and kind of give that a little bit extra gravitas, I think that's fine. But yeah, let's go 1 through 25 and we can move them around. We can speed through this quickly. I think Daemon has to be 1.
I agree.
Yeah, agreed.
Okay. For overall consistency. And consistency, I would say he is number 1. Number 2, what about his dragon?
Caraxes,
I thought was pretty good. Now, maybe pretty good is not fair for number 2. Like, number 2 is kind of high. But Caraxes, we had pretty high. They have the best bond between any rider.
Do we go with Caraxes or do we go with, like, Ormond? Because Ormond was really good from when he came on the screen till his death. And his death was like kind of hilarious.
It was a good death. And Ormond was
Roddy's going to make the top 6.
Roddy's definitely in the top 6.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not enough screen time, but he's got to be in the conversation.
Do you want to go Ormond Hightower 2? Would you want to go Aegon 3? He did come back from the dead.
I don't know. High. I think to me,
Sheepstealer.
When you're talking peak, like Sheepstealer is better than Aegon. Aegon was good, but Sheepstealer's peak was like all time.
Okay. So Sheepstealer 3.
I like that.
I don't hate that. Do you want to go Roddy the Ruin 4?
Yeah.
Roddy the Ruin was so good. We talked about his debut and then his exit. So he didn't get a lot of screen time, but like he absolutely made the most of it. All right. So we have Daemon, Ormond, Sheepstealer, Roddy the Ruin. Let me toss out Helena at 5.
Okay.
She is a dreamer. She talks shit to Rhaenyra. she had a lot of really good lines there. And
so this is where I would throw out Caraxes. Who is kind of more consistent over the season, Caraxes or Helena, do you think?
Caraxes. Caraxes. Let's lean on the dragons a little bit more. There was some good stuff. Some good like comedy with Caraxes, but also some good war and some good like
I'm just gonna pitch you most. I'm gonna pitch you my top six.
Okay.
Cat.
That I just wrote it down quickly. Daemon.
Yep.
Caraxes. Roddy. Ormond. Alice. Helena.
Wait, no sheep stealer. Interesting.
No sheep stealer.
Sheep stealer's just outside.
Okay.
Corlys, by the way. Corlys, strong.
Corlys is also good. All right. Here, I'll move.
So I don't love Alice. Like I get it. I get what she did and how she drove the plot, but like the peak of Alice wasn't that high. If we're talking like she was consistently solid, but she wasn't like she didn't light my fire. She didn't turn me on like she did for Aemon. Just didn't work for me. I think both dragons should absolutely be above her.
Jeff Comp 24. I think we should do people and dragons make their own power rankings.
He thinks, oh, they should be separate.
Yeah, you do a dragon power ranking and a people power
rankings.
No.
Two dragons
all together. We're putting them all together. I like where we start.
Dragons is people.
Daemon, Ormond, Sheepstealer, Roddy, Caraxes, Helena.
Okay.
Then Alice? Or do you want to go Aegon there? Because he fucking came back from the dead.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
And Sunfire. Sunfire should be way up here.
Not enough screen time.
Yeah, but Roddy the Ruined didn't have a lot of screen time.
Yeah, but Sunfire literally Undertaker memed this season.
And I'm saying, I think Sunfire should be even higher than Alice.
I'm not going to argue with that. Putting a dragon above Alice is not, I have no arguments.
Do you guys like Sunfire more than Aegon?
Yes.
Okay. So let's do Sunfire 7, Aegon 8, Alice 9.
Okay.
I feel like she made our list a bunch during the year.
Yep.
What about Black Alley, who shot and killed Kristen?
Oh, he's the shit.
She was cool.
She was great, but she definitely needs to be in the top half of the 25, but I don't think she needs to be quite this high.
Okay, that's fine.
I was going to throw out Alan. Alan's had a really solid season. Now you're starting to get some question marks about his character. He's willing to kill Septons.
I like Alan. Alan's good. Alan gets some run on our list, too. So Alan's good. Let's put Alan at 10 below Alice. What about Adam or Reyna or Bela? Any other dragons? Right now we only have three dragons.
Rhaenyra makes a good point. She's like, you know, was it Adam and I have been out like looking for Vhagar, blah, blah. She's you haven't done shit. So you haven't done anything.
Yeah.
True. So that's I back Rhaenyra on that one. You haven't done shit. I'm not gonna like Adam, give you credit.
Yeah, Adam doesn't need to be anywhere near.
Adam, no. Yeah, Adam unfortunately Bela didn't do a whole lot either.
No.
But what about Reyna? Reyna tried. Didn't go great with Sheepstealer, but then she also had that conversation with Daemon after the fact. We also have Lady Arryn. Lady Arryn, we saw her pop off.
Moondor.
The Moondor. We have Little Tully. We have...
He was good.
Gwaen.
We got the foot guy.
Larys.
Clubfoot.
Yep.
We haven't mentioned Alicent.
We haven't mentioned the Lannister.
Lannister. Aemon.
Aemon fell off.
Silverwing.
I need Psycho Aemon back.
Yeah, he did not have a great
Unfortunately, season. I think Aemon's gonna go full Kristen Cole. That's what it feels like.
Oh
damn it.
Which sucks. Yeah, it's real bad.
That is tough. That is tough. All right, so right now we have 10. We have Daemon, Ormond, Sheepstealer, Roddy the Ruined, Caraxes, Helena, Sunfire, Aegon, Alice, and Alan.
I think Ulf gets some love for like standing up for himself finally. Yeah, that's what I
was gonna say. Because like he had like as bad as a human being as he was, he's a really good character.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you want to go Ulf 11, and do you want to throw his dragon, Silverwing?
Silverwing.
Didn't get a ton of go.
All he did was toast everybody in this final episode. That's
true. That was really kind of the end.
You got Corlys on the list, right?
Oh, no.
Ooh, no, I think that should be our 12.
Oh, okay. Yep. Good one. Corlys.
Real strong start and then came on at the end.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Oh, man, that first episode was incredible. Oh, it's great. All right, so we have Corliss 12.
Then maybe this is where Black Alley comes in for the Crippling Cole kill.
I like Black Alley at 13. What about Gwaine? Gwaine
I love Gwaine. I'm a Gwaine truther.
You're a Gwaine guy?
I'm a Gwaine truther.
All right. At 15, what about Tessarion, who had the great moment when they gave him the fake Darren, and he was like, the fuck is this guy? He's like looking around. He's like, that ain't him. Like,
I just love the face. He's like, okay.
Yeah.
Like,
it's not who they think it is. That he might be worth it just for that moment alone.
Hit him with the Julie face.
Like, come on. All right. So if we have Tessarion at 15, we still have room for 10 more, and we don't have Rhaenyra yet. Is Rhaenyra cracking this list?
Rhaenyra? No, she's towards the bottom. She's bottom half.
Yeah,
for me.
Missaria.
Get her out of here too.
Yeah, no.
What was the name? Annoying. Just because he kicked butt in that fight against Daemon. What was the name of Ormond's right hand man?
Shit, bowl cut guy.
Yeah, Voss. Bowl cut guy. Stone or Stonington or some shit like that.
Daemon, season 3 dragons. All right, let's see. Sir John Roxton.
Roxton. Ooh, that's even a good name.
Yeah, I feel like
Roxton. That's like a wrestler name.
He had the when he, his first introduction, the piss and shit stuff, and then the fight with Daemon was good. It was best like hand to hand fight I think we saw all season.
I agree. All right, Sir John Roxton, he'll be
and not still. I would put him on Hoss of the Week.
He could be Hoss of the Week. He was kicking some ass.
Yep. Fucking dog walk Daemon.
Daemon, I thought was like the toughest dude in Westeros, and you're like,
who fair finish said it's like six or 60 men. It's still Daemon Targaryen. Like someone said that.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. That's also a good line.
Well, and every dude he faced, he just murdered except this guy. And this guy,
or everyone else, he just walked right through him.
Yeah, except and this guy, and this guy dog walked him.
This guy's nice. This guy's nice. All right, so now we're down to 17. Do we want to throw Rhaena on there or no?
Wait, did I miss a couple? Who came after Gwaine?
I went to Sarion.
Right, okay.
So,
by the way, I have to mention my 12 and 10 year old daughters. Now my wife says something that isn't true, or like they'll hit her with the Julie line in the face. Julie. That's not my wife's name, but they will do that to her.
No. It's good. It's
I've
good
trained them well.
Hell yeah.
Show jeans.
So unfortunately,
no joke gifts.
Dreamfire wasn't really in it. It was just in vision that Helena had. But she had the fucking purple horns. She looked cool as hell.
Yeah.
Look cool. But I don't know if it counts.
Mm.
Who
else like made our top lists? All
let me see, actually, because I think I had a list from... Let's see.
What about Jace?
Aemon, Orman, Alice. Aemon made it once, but he was sixth. Sir Gwaine. Where's week six? I'm looking for week six.
Gwaine came in, I think, in week six. Yeah, yeah. He was towards the bottom of the list.
Let me see. So after week six, we had Daemon, Orman, Alice, Gwaine, Helena, Allen. And then this is when we had a bunch of receiving votes. We had Sheepstealer, Aemon, Lord Oscar Tully, Lady Jane Arryn, Ulf the White, Black Alley, and the Vulture King. We never actually saw.
Maybe the Vulture King comes in here.
That was the week I missed.
They referenced Vulture King. So do you want to put him at 17 just because it sounds so cool?
Yeah. And then maybe this is where we slide in. Who else did you say in that list right before the Vulture King? Lady Arryn.
Lady Arryn. Yep.
At 18?
Yep.
Okay.
I like that. Okay. Little Lord Oscar Tully. He had that good line. Yeah. And we saw him more in the finale too.
Mm-hmm. Seems like he's a smart individual, real good with the war planning. And then on top of it, making fun of Christian Cole, always a plus.
Correct.
Always a plus. Sad boy.
There is Christian Cole.
I understand Christian Cole was a sad sack.
Yeah.
But it was like funny.
It was
to like laugh at him most of the year, his season, and on top of it,
he did have like a cool death.
Hilarious.
He did have a cool death.
And right before his death, he murdered like 8 dudes with like a mace.
Okay, do you want to put him as like a ceremonial 25th?
Love that.
Okay,
fucking Eeyore.
Christian Cole, we'll put him at 25. So then we.
Thanks for noticing me. Like, shut up.
Do Rhaenyra and or Alicent have to make the list?
At the bottom. I'd put them both. Put Alicent at the bottom. Like, you stink.
Okay. If we do that, let's see.
So then we just need like four more, right?
We need three more. If we have Alicent at 24, Rhaenyra at 23.
Clubfoot.
Oh, you want to put Larys?
Yep.
Well, Clubfoot was just pretty good.
Well, the true fact that he was just like, you know, I'm no good here. Can I go? Like, yeah, you can go, dude.
Then he shot Aegon straight too, right? He's like, you're awful. Like, you're terrible. You're a bad guy. You're a worse king. You're a fucking shit guy.
And put it with the Lannister guy. Put him up there too.
Oh, you
is it Tywin?
Tywin?
Oh, hold on. What about the lady who captains the ships for the Triarchy in that battle?
In the sea bitch or whatever.
Yeah, the sea bitch.
Oh, Bitch Fist was the name of her ship.
Oh, yeah, the lady who had Bitch Fist.
What was
she was
name?
Great.
Lohar.
Lohar.
She was great. Put her on there. She was great.
She comes in after Oscar Tully.
Yep.
Or hits Tylan with the, how much you weigh in that thing?
And then kicks him overboard. And then
throws him overboard.
Oh. All right. So if that's it, we got 25. Here, I can see if you want to move anybody up, down, or off.
Speaking of that, I've been playing a lot of the new Black Flag Resync. Baby, I am having a ball sailing my ship. And speaking of kicking people off boats, I'm having a ball. Yeah.
All right. We have Daemon Targaryen 1, Ormond Hightower 2, then Sheepstealer 3, Roddy the Ruin 4, Caraxes 5, Helaena 6, Sunfire 7, Aegon 8, Alice 9, Allen of Hall 10, Ulf 11, Corlys 12, Black Alley 13, Gwaine 14, Tessarion 15, Sir John Ruxton 16, The Vulture King 17, Lady Jane Arryn 18, Lord Oscar Tully 19, Lohar the Pirate 20, Clubfoot Larys at 21, the Lannister dude at 22, Rhaenyra 23, Alicent 24, and Sir Criston Cole 25.
I like it.
I dig it. That's a solid list.
Kind of fucking nailed it, if I'm being honest.
I think it's going to look really good. So thank you very much. Yeah. Season 4, probably in 2 years, and that'll be
this
the last.
28. Yeah, that's it.
Sweet.
That's it for House of the Dragon. We do have a season 2 of A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms coming, and we have Aegon's Conquest movie is also in the works.
Do they have a date for that?
It just said 2027, but I don't even know if I trust it.
Yeah.
I don't know if that means
so many things are getting delayed.
Yeah, so I don't know, but that is like a real going to be a live action Game of Thrones movie. So
hell yeah,
like theatrical release or just like HBO?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think like a movie.
Right. Do we really want? So my question for the room then is: did we want Aegon's Conquest or do we want Robert's Rebellion? Because like for a long time after Game of Thrones, that was what was rumored to always like be coming out next, and it just never did.
So I think I do want Aegon's Conquest just because I love dragons so much.
Fair. Okay.
But and the thing with Robert's Rebellion,
only three to be fair.
Yeah, true. But it's the biggest one ever.
Also true.
So just to see Balerion take out like the whole city with his wings, but also Robert's Rebellion. I know it takes place so many years before Game of Thrones, but I'm also wondering like you have to recast everybody. Like that might be tough. I mean, you could do it because it's what, like 18 years before the season starts. So they would look different. But it's like we're so accustomed to seeing like what Jaime Lannister looks like and Ned Stark and Robert. But
sure.
I mean,
they're 20 years younger, right? So it's.
Yeah. So you could. I mean, obviously you could recast it, but.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'd watch.
Man, I need to see Balerion on screen, though.
Yes.
That'd be sick.
That's what I'm here for.
That's all I care about. I don't care about. You can cast whoever.
Yeah.
Put Jacob Elordi in whatever and just like show me that huge dragon.
Give me those goddamn dragons.
Give it to me.
All right. Very good. Anything else,
guys?
Yeah, I think we nailed it.
Well done.
All right, thanks for listening. Tell a friend, tell a dork. Let us know what your score. Oh, that's what we need too. Season scores for House of the Dragon. Davey, what do you got for your dork score?
I'm between two.
Okay.
I think I'm going to lean 4.5.
Okay.
Maybe 5. I can be talked up to a 5.
Shime?
I'm a soft 4.5.
Oh, I'm going 5.5. I love this.
Really?
I like this season way more than you guys did. Wow. Every episode we talked about, I liked more. Yeah. I thought the first and the second episode were great. I thought, was it third or four was really good. And then I thought the finale was great. Like, even though the battle was one of those ones where like nobody won, like, I think that's good because that often happens in battles.
That's the
like,
point.
I think this finale was the best episode of the season.
Oh, see,
it finished strong.
The first episode was insane. I loved the first episode, but I get it. This was a really good one too. So no, I think it's one of the best shows of the year. Like I'm going wow. 5.5. So
I'll split the difference.
So 4-5 for you, 4.5 for Shine, 5.5.
Yep,
cool.
All right, you guys can let us know at Dork Podcast Twitter and Instagram and on YouTube as well. Where if you're watching live right now, you can jump over to our other link. Davey and I are going to take a look at some of the still to come movies, TV shows, and video games of 2026. There's a ton of stuff still to come out.
So many.
So we're going to rip through some of the most important ones. So in the meantime, fellas, stay hard and stay curious.
The hashtag Dork Podcast.